We've gathered here tonight to celebrate Christmas Eve, the miracle of the God of the universe becoming a baby, becoming one of us. And this is the greatest of all stories. There's more drama in this than the entire body of Shakespeare's work. And this story, like none other, is one that you and I can actually become part of. And so how do we become part of the cast of this ongoing story? We get a clue by looking at the genealogy of Jesus, at the record of his ancestors. Now, most ancient genealogies did not contain women, but Jesus has five women that are recorded in his family tree. One of them is his great-great-great-great, 1,000 years back from his birth, great-grandmother, Ruth. Ruth was from Moab. She was a Moabite, which meant that she descended from a race that began with a scandalous act of incest. So she was a member of a despised minority group. And in Jesus' family tree, obviously, you also have Mary. Ooh, got a Mary fan out there. Mary is obviously incredibly famous today. When we think of Mary, maybe we envision how a medieval artist portrayed her. Mary has donned the cover of more magazines than Lady Di, Marilyn Monroe, Madonna, Angelina Jolie, Kate Middleton, and Meghan Markle combined. But obviously there was a time when Mary was not famous, when she was completely unknown, just a 14 or 15-year-old peasant girl in the town of Nazareth, which according to biblical scholars may have had fewer than 100 people. We also know that Mary would have been like her peers, illiterate, unable to read or write. Given her station in life, we would have expected her to marry humbly, a poor working class boy, and then had lots of children who would often go hungry because there wasn't enough to make ends meet in their family. We would also project that if she were a typical girl, she would never travel more than a few kilometers from her hometown across her entire lifetime. And yet, when the God of the universe decides to choose his mother, I'm glad you're so interested. He doesn't approach the daughter of Caiaphas, who was apparently dressed in rich garments embroidered with gold and had a host of maids in waiting. But he approaches a peasant girl, illiterate, from a very small town. And as we consider someone like Ruth, one of Jesus' great-great-grandmothers, we learn that you don't have to be of a particular race or a, quote, insider to be part of the Christmas story. And when we look at Mary's story, we realize that you don't have to be rich or from a big city or to have attended a fancy school or to have some important role in society. You don't need any of that to be part of this story. You don't have to have charisma, great potential. You can be dirt ordinary. You can be an outsider, you can be a misfit, and yet you can make it into this Christmas story. What is the one qualification that God seems to require to be part of this everlasting story? When the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and tells her, "You're about to become the mother of God. You will conceive a child created by God. According to one poet, Mary does not respond by trying to slap Gabriel in the face. She doesn't scream. She doesn't faint. She doesn't swear. She simply opens up her heart in her arms and says, "Yes, may it be to me as you have said." And in order for us to become part of the Christmas story and to experience God birthing his life in us this Christmas, in this coming year, all we need is a yes. All we need to do is agree to the work of the Holy Spirit inside us, to consent to that work. Over the last number of months, I've been praying something called the welcoming prayer, and it simply goes like this. Holy Spirit, I agree to your work in me, and I let go of my desire for security, for affection and esteem, for power and control. Mary didn't pray these exact words, but this was her heart as she said yes to God. She was letting go of security. When she said yes to God's work in her, and the Holy Spirit birthed a baby inside her. And then she told her fiancé, Joseph. He naturally thought it was some other guy. He knew it wasn't him. And so he breaks up with Mary. And Mary inhabits a world where a woman's only access to security and to money and to needed provisions comes through a man. So Joseph is out of her life. Her life is now insecure. It's been destabilized. Thankfully, God communicates through an angel to Joseph in a dream that some other guy is not the father of the baby inside her. It's the Holy Spirit. And so Joseph returns to Mary. When Mary says yes to God, she also gives up her desire for affection and esteem. As I mentioned, she's from a very small town. People know that Joseph is not the father of her baby. And so there's gossip and slander. And her reputation will be stained then and for the rest of her life. And when Mary says yes to God, she gives up her desire for power and control. Her baby will be born. He will be given the name Jesus. He'll grow up. At age 12, he goes missing. And Mary has to call the equivalent of 911 in the first century world. When Jesus is about 33, she sees her son mocked, spat upon, beaten, and then nailed to a Roman cross. That suffering has a purpose because he is absorbing your sins and mine and our shame into himself so that we can be freed of these things. But to his mother Mary, it felt like a dagger piercing her heart. When God came to Mary through the angel Gabriel and said, "You shall become the mother of God, a life will be created in you by God," could Mary have said no? Of course she could have said no. She could have taken a pass. Would God still have been born into the world? Yes. God could have found somebody else. But if Mary had said no, what would have been stillborn in her? And this Christmas and in the coming year, God may well come to you and invite you into his story and offer to birth new life in you. Can you say no? Of course you can say no. But if you say no, what might be still born in you? If you say yes, who knows the adventure that God might lead you on? And if you'd like to say yes to the work of the Holy Spirit in you as Mary did, I invite you to pray this very simple welcoming prayer, phrase by phrase, in your spirit. God is calling you. And he's calling me too. So let's pray. That's a sign. Here's the prayer. And if it expresses your heart, just pray it in your spirit. Holy Spirit, I say yes to your work in me. I let go of my desire for security, for affection and esteem, for power and control. And as you pray this prayer, may God's life be birthed in you. And may you become part of the grand and everlasting story of God. Amen.